Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I apologize, it's a little difficulty getting online. I just want to say good morning. I'm your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and we are having an interesting conversation today. I thank you for joining us. And, of course, I want to apologize for my voice. I don't know what's going on, but hopefully it's not going to be too offensive and we can still have the conversation and go on as we need to go on. So I just want to say good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a great day. We are now in 2012 and wonderful things are happening. I want you to just look around you and just think right now, this moment, you have everything that you need if you just live right now in the moment. Don't go to the past and don't go to the future. Just stay right in that moment and you will see and feel that you have everything that you need at this moment. And Father God, we just want to thank you this morning for allowing us the opportunity to get up, to start a day, and to come to you, Father, this morning and ask you, what would you have us to do for you today as servants for your kingdom? Father, I just ask you to bless each mother and daughter around the world. Touch their hearts. Touch each daughter, knowing that that daughter is going to reproduce another family. You've chosen the woman, Father, to bring in your people to do your work for the kingdom. So as mothers and daughters in their relationship move from this moment on, Father, I ask that you touch their hearts, their souls, because we are the mothers of our future generations, which include our daughters and our sons, which becomes fathers. So Father God, we just thank you this morning. We ask that you come in the midst of this conversation, that you steer our hearts, steer our words and our minds, and that they all lead to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, it's a good day. I cannot tell you how great today is. It is absolutely wonderful. And I just want you to feel that. Just feel how good it is to be up and to move around and to know that you have another opportunity to serve God, to do something good, to look at yourself, to help someone else. It's all about who can we help today. And I want you to look within your heart and say, I want to help at least one person before 12 o'clock tonight. And if we all just help one person, you know how many people will be helped today? Look for one person that you can do something for. If nothing but a hug, if nothing but a smile, if nothing but an encouraging word, those things mean more than money. Because if you can help someone build their faith and believe, that's more than gold. So I'm asking that you look for one person that you can help today. All right? Now let's look at our announcements for today. I'm going to make those very short. First of all, I want to thank all the listeners for calling in, all the mothers and daughters, and of course we have a list of gentlemen that are listening to us now. And I'm liking that. I have more gentlemen calling me and saying, you know, Dr. Fletcher, you are getting larger than just mothers and daughters. You are reaching the fathers as well. Well, I noticed during the counseling sessions with mothers and daughters, it always includes something in the conversation about the father or the son that's in the house or somewhere woven into that relationship. And therefore, we have to have a conversation with the father or the son or both. Then it started molding itself into family therapy. And I notice now that when I go in with maybe one directive to deal with mothers and daughters, I end up doing the entire family, working with the family because what? It's one unit. But I always say to the gentleman, you know, sometimes I get criticized and they say, you know, you can't just leave the men out. And I said, no, I'm not trying to leave the men out because they are our fathers. But we have to always look at what is the calling. My calling is to nurture the relationship between mothers and daughters. And if you do what God asks you to do, you're going to be successful at that. But if you try to change what God asks you to do, then you're doing what you want to do, and it's not going to have the same effects as if you would follow the guidelines and the request that God is asking you to do. So with that being said, we have fathers and sons that are out there that are listening to the program. And as one gentleman said to me, you know, we are listening so we will know how to deal with our wives and our daughters, because we want to hear how you feel. And it helps us to get a better perspective on what really goes on in the minds and the hearts of the mother and daughter, because every gentleman has a mother. And you know, therefore, if you don't have a son or if you don't have a daughter, you have a mother. And if your mother's still living, you got to deal with that mother. If you are in a relationship with another woman, it's the way that you relate to your mother is how you're going to relate to that woman in your life. You will treat her accordingly. And I know some gentlemen that really was reared without a mother, and it makes it very difficult for them to have that intimacy with another woman because they really didn't get it from their mother. So those are some of the things that we're going to touch on today in our conversation that generated from a conversation from yesterday. And how do you get past that? How do you deal with that and then move on and try to make the best that you can? So as you sit back, relax, and as I say, get your favorite drink, let's sit around the round table and have a conversation. You know, call your friends. Call the mothers and daughters in your life and ask them to join us. And they can call us at 347-539-5078. That's 347-539-5078. And click 1 to join in on the conversation. They also can go to the Internet. We are on Blog Talk Radio. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com, and you can also join us for this particular conversation. We're here every Saturday morning between 10 and 11. And, of course, this year we are going to – we've grown. This is our – going into our third year. We have grown to the fact that we are now getting into that round table. I've been hosting the show, and occasionally my daughter, the show has outgrown us to the point where we have to bring people to continue the conversation. Things are happening in my personal life, well, not personal, personal business, is that the ministry is growing, and we're getting ready for the television show. Ask Dr. Bessie, I want you to make note of that, that will pop up this spring. In production with that, that is going to take up a lot of time. So, therefore, we're going into the true format of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Roundtable. Starting next Saturday, we are going to have guests on the show. So if you would like to be a guest on our show and sit at the roundtable with us, we would welcome you. I ask you to give me an email, to send me an email at drbessie.com. Well, let me give it back to you again. Do drbessie1 at gmail.com. That's drbessie, the number 1, at gmail.com, drbessie1.com. If you would like to sit in on the roundtable, what we're going to do is that we're going to have women to sit in on the roundtable, and we're going to, when I do the dialogue, then we're going to have the discussion. It will change. Some people will be on there on a weekly basis, and some people will go in and out. So you don't have to commit to being on the show every Saturday. You may just want to do say, well, you know, I'd like to be on the topic, and we'll have a list of topics that as best we can. I don't really pick the topics. The topics are actually picked for me by the Holy Spirit, and then I follow through. But we will assign, we'll let you know, and you come on. You got to be ready to talk and got to be ready to you know, just jump in, because it's one of those types of things that you have to use your spirit and your experience and your life stories to share on that particular topic, which is just going to be life. Nothing major. You don't have to have a rocket scientist degree or a doctorate to do this. This is just talking about how we can help other people with the experiences that our lives. I want to thank the ambassadors for their hard work. I tell you, these ladies are absolutely wonderful. They are the muscles behind the scene of the Mother and Daughter Bonding Network. With the many things that we do, they are there. They are the ones that make it happen. I could not do it by myself. And again, for the new people that are coming on, I am Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, and I'm your host today. And our stimulating topic is, it's what you're not saying, mother, that affects your daughter. And I'll say that again. It is what you are not saying, mother, that affects your daughter. Call your friends. Tell them to join us at 347-539-5078. You know, and this topic came out of a topic that was generated yesterday. And I'm going to go back into a couple weeks when we had a topic on it is not what you are saying, but it's about, you know, actually the things that affect a mother and daughter relationship, the truth. And so before, I don't want to get ahead of myself, we're just going to talk about it's what you're not saying that affects your daughter. Now, let's go back. It goes back a couple of weeks when we were talking about hidden secrets. Now, let's talk about some of the truths in the mother and daughter relationship. First, you know, we got to understand the truth, and we got to know that the truth will set us free. And sometimes the truth hurt. That's the thing. Well, in doing that, we were talking about, you know, whose truth is it? Is it your truth? Is it someone else's words? Or is it something else that you think you're hearing? Because Satan is so slick, he will whisper things into your ear and make you think that they are reality. And that's the thing that we have to fight. You know, we hear fighting the good fight of faith. That's what it is. It's the struggle within that conversation of fighting to realize, you know, what's God's word and what's being filtered in is not the truth. That's the hidden secret. You've got to fight for it. But then you have a witness, and the witness is in your spirit. There's something in the core of your heart and your spirit that will generate you to know the truth. And I always like to use the example of the deer. If there's a deer drinking water, and I think everybody can relate to that, and that deer could be drinking water, and then all of a sudden, you know, that their head would turn just from a flicker of a sound because they have that built-in mechanism that says, danger, someone's around me, who is it? You have the same thing inside of you, and we've got to do that. We've got to judge the witness, the spirit by the spirit. So you got to use your spirit and your heart and your soul and know what you feel on the inside, and that's where your truth lies. So when we were sitting yesterday and we were talking about a conversation that was on the radio a couple of weeks ago, the hidden secrets in a mother and daughter relationship, we were doing a production meeting, and out of that production meeting, you know, I just simply said that was one of the topics. And the hidden secret, the number one hidden secret is, you know, people say mother's baby and father's maybe. And that generated a whole conversation around five women at a table. And that thing lasted and it grew into so many different ways. Now, it was a business meeting. We were doing our television production. And, you know, just those conversations alone brought in a topic. And out of the people that were sitting there, there was five women, and each of us, three out of the five, had issues of who is my father. And the other two had issues with their mothers. And this all came at the end of the meeting, and it just took on a life of its own. And it really showed me that, you know, we have got to get to that. That was the original truth, the original shaping of the mother and daughter roundtables. You know, and a lot of times I've been fortunate because I've had some wonderful women that have gotten on and have shared and have joined the conversation. and have kept the program going. You know, I could not have done it without them because we have to have a conversation. I mean, you can listen to me all day, and I thank you for that. You need to hear it from someone else's perspective so it'll broaden your mind. You can't just give one side. So when we were talking about the hidden secrets in a mother and daughter relationship, I was talking about down through the generation, the hidden secrets that most families, you know, have, they are discovered in the next generation. A lot of times, you know, a kid, they realize there's a secret, and they hear little things from their parents when they're having conversations, but they know to keep their mouth closed. They keep their mouth closed, but the information is inside their head. They know it's a secret. So that sets the child up to start hiding things. You know, we are a product of our learned behavior. We start hiding things. It's not a conscious thing that we do it. It's just that it's an unconscious thing because we grew up in that environment. We grew up seeing things being hidden, knowing things that people are not saying, and it becomes a part of your personality. It becomes a part of your truth, which is hard to break down when a person believes that is the truth. That's why you have to study, and that's why we have to keep seeking God's word to figure out, you know, what is the truth and how do we discover the truth and how do we get this unlearned behavior, that the behavior that we've learned, how we unlearn that behavior, cleanse ourselves, and get closer to what Jesus is trying to get us to perfect, to be more like him, to get more like the truth. Now, I admit this is not an easy thing. It is not easy at all. It is the most difficult thing because that's the test. That's the test. Are you going to really listen to your heart, to your spirit? Are you going to measure it according to the word of God? Are you just going to just take some words that just floating out in the air, television, radio, friends, cousins, whatever, and just drop it in? We've got to measure it. And like I tell my clients, if I say something and it doesn't fit with you, then don't take it. Feel if it fits in your spirit, you know it, and it hits, then you connect, you have judged it, you weighed it, it feels, it fits you. Then go with that as the truth. And then, of course, then you go to God and you ask, you know, is this the truth for me? So we're always measuring. We're always measuring. Now, this was the trick to the whole thing. As I was doing the program and I was talking about hidden secrets, I did not, you know, most of you know when I talked that I get up in the morning and I simply start writing. And I don't know all the time, I don't know in the beginning what I'm writing about. But I also tell you that you are a product, as my listening audience, of my teaching. So therefore, I get a lesson, I'm being taught, and I get up on Saturday morning and I share those with you. You know, and I get excited because, you know, I am doing self-therapy and you are helping me to be a better person, you know. And if you can start with yourself and judge yourself, then, you know, you won't have time to judge other people. So I judge myself as I'm the student, and I'm learning. So I'm always trying to get to the next level. But the discovery came out as I was talking about hidden secrets, and the one thing jumped out was, the number one hidden secret is the hidden secret, mama's baby, papa's maybe. And the thought came to me, the Spirit said, your hidden secret. And I was like, wow. So, you know, we went into that discussion. I was a hidden secret for years. You know, my mother decided that she wanted to not tell me the truth about my biological father. So I lived with that. There on the other end, I had sisters that and cousins that knew about me, but, you know, they were told I was a secret. So everybody whispering about a secret, and that's the thing that we've got to stop. it wasn't until my mother died and then I decided, you know what, I'm going to stop this. You know, we can't change everything. But the things that you know that rest upon your heart, that you are being tried by, you've got to do something about that. You can't continuously allow something to rest heavy on your heart when you know that's where the sin come in at, because you know the truth. And so with that, I could not rest without telling my daughter, and that was the only thing I wanted to do, was tell my daughter, and I wanted the approval from my mother to tell her. And for many years, I couldn't get the approval. So after she passed, I decided, you know what, I don't need her approval anymore. I'm going to do this. It didn't affect the way my daughter felt about my stepfather, which is my father, the best man that I could ever think of. He was very good to me. I didn't miss anything, but the biological piece still affect me, because everybody really wants to know who's their real family. So I don't want to rehash that into a deep therapeutic session just for Dr. Bessie, but I'm saying that to let you know that when that came out of me, you know, it's a freeing, because I understand it and I understand the truth about it, and then the truth set my daughter free, and the truth set my grandkids free, because, see, now we know the extended family so that my grandkids will know who they are connected to as they grow up and start dating other young women. They'll know that they are connected to this extended family. And that breaks the truth, that sets them free with knowledge. So what I discovered with the five women sitting around the table, three out of five had doubts about who their real father was and how that affect their lives and how that affect them with their children. And two of them had major issues with their mother. Two different situations. One, you know, long time not dealing with the mother. The other, you know, the mother's gone, and what do I do? Now we are back to most people are thinking, are they teenagers? No. They were not teenagers. We were not teenagers sitting around this table. The youngest person was in their late 30s. I'm just assuming, you know, from I didn't ask her age, but I'm going to measure it out to that. One was in the late 40s. Two was in the 50s. One in the early 50s. One in the late 50s. And one was in the early 60s. Now, can you imagine? This is a broad spectrum of age, and I'm talking about adult women that all have children, and we are all sitting around the table preparing a show for a television show addressing issues that will affect most women, which are made up of mothers and daughters, and we are all mothers and we're all daughters, and we're dealing with the biological issue that affects and how it affects our lives. Now, one young lady said to her, you know, I just think that, and she's still in therapy. People have been in therapy for years trying to get past those untruths. And it's the things that you're not saying, mother, that affects your daughter. It's the things that you think that are secrets that are affecting the child. You know, and I'm not talking about just the daughter. I'm talking about the son. We're going to talk about the entire makeup, because a lot of women have sons. And those sons have to go in and build relationship with other women. Now, think about it. If you're not telling the truth to your child, may it be a son or daughter, when they get into a relationship with someone else, they are going to take those same things over to their relationship. And they are going to do what? Pass it on to your grandchildren. So that mother's baby and papa's maybe just doesn't get it, because it affects you, it affects your daughter, and it changes the life of your child. Now, you don't even know who you would have been had you not been affected by some untruth. Think about that. Because those effects carry on to the next generation. You know, we can't keep using the old school approach. You know, I'm going to go to my grave with this secret. You know, I've heard people say that, and I'm taking that secret. Just take that secret to your grave. No, you're not taking it to your grave. Believe it or not, someone knows the truth. There's always someone that knows the truth. And you need to realize that because God is watching. I tell people it's like a fishbowl. God sees you. No matter where you go, no matter who you're talking to, no matter what you do, God hears you and he sees you. It's like he told Moses. He says, Moses, do they not know that I hear them grumbling and complaining? Do they not know I hear that? Well, it's the same thing. Do you not know that God knows that you have a secret? And that you're wondering why you can't get along with your daughter? You're wondering why you can't get along with your son? You're wondering why you can't get along with people in general? Because you're carrying stuff and it's eating at you through your intro conversation. It is eating away and it's heavy on your heart and it affects everything that you do. It affects how you relate to other people. So if you can't get along with your girlfriend, you see some women, I'm not just knocking on you, but, just can't get along. You see some people that just can't get along. You ask yourself, why? Because they're burdened down. There's a lot of stuff. It's really not a conscious thing that they're doing this. That's the cleansing process. We've got to come to the truth, and we've got to get rid of the hidden secrets. When you're walking around and you know you're hiding, it is so hard. You have built a prison for yourself. So, yes, someone knows the truth. And in most cases, your children know. Your daughter know. How many times, ask yourself, how many times have you walked around and you knew things that you didn't think your parents knew that you knew? Because somewhere along the line, you watch, you listen, and you put one and one together and you got two. She said, wow, I can't say anything about that because I'll get a whipping. That was the thing that kept us at bay. I'll get a whipping. She may not say anything to you, your daughter, about what she knows, but 9 times out of 10, she knows the difference. And the thing that came up in the conversation is that, when children are small and you're talking about the hidden secrets, and you're talking about the things you're not saying, kids will try to figure it out because they look at their other siblings and they'll see one that looks so different from all the others. Don't you think for a moment that because they are children, they can't figure that out? They look and they say, well, why is it that all of us look like this? And then here's one over here. She doesn't look anything like us. She'll look like mama or daddy, And the topic came up yesterday. The young lady said that's what brought it into her and discovery to her because, her siblings and her friends say, you look a certain way. You look Hispanic. You just don't look like us. Well, then when the child sees that and discover that, then the thoughts are eating away in the mind, and all she wanted to know was, okay, why am I different? Why do I look different? Why are people saying I'm some nationality that I'm not supposed to be? And you know what? The mother's being very secretive. So don't think for a moment that they don't know. Because that's how I found out. Children hear other conversations from another household. And they are so upfront to want to tell you, especially when they're angry with you. That's what happened. We were children and we got to fighting about something. And they thought, well, we'll just get you and we'll just tell you. And they told me, and it took my heart out. It actually took my heart out. And from that day on, it affected my life. It affected my life. But now that you've discovered that, and this is what we said yesterday, excuse me, my voice is a little cracky. This is what we said yesterday. We were saying, once you discover, you've got to figure out how to make the best life, how to deal with it. And there's only way that you can do that, and that is to cast those thoughts onto Jesus. You have got to get rid of them, and that's where you're going to find that peace. And until you unload until you go and say, you know what, this is bigger than me. I cannot deal with this, because it will cripple you in your creativity. It will cripple you from doing what you were sent here to do. And that's Satan's weapon. He wants to have that conversation in your head. He wants to tell you all kinds of things to make you think and tie up your mind. Just think how many hours your mind is tied up on wanting to get somebody, you know, wanting to hate somebody, wanting to talk about the secret that's in your head. You know, just think of all the hours in the day that Satan keeps that conversation going in your head. Because as long as he can entertain you, as long as he can get you to just keep going over the past, the past, the past, he knows that you cannot get to the future. Now, if you don't get anything else out of this today, I'm telling you, mothers, you got to tell your children the truth. You've got to release that hidden secret of those hidden secrets in your life. And you say, well, Dr. Fletcher, I've done some things that's so bad. Who can I tell? Well, you can tell Jesus. You got to tell somebody. You got to confess it, get it out, and do not, if you know it's affecting your children, set them free. Because you as a mother, you know when that child is asking you. You know when she wants to know. You know that if you don't tell her the truth, it's going to affect her relationship with the gentleman that she gets involved with. And she doesn't know how to raise her daughter. And these are the things that are coming to me. And that's why we're talking about that today. I don't know why, and I don't know. I don't have the answers, but God is bringing this topic over and over and over again. We've been dealing with this for the last 3 or 4 weeks. So whoever you are, set yourself free. And I'm trying to do the same thing. Not trying, I'm doing the same thing. Because my thing is, I don't want my grandchildren to be affected. So I decided, I'm going to tell, and I told my daughter. And, you know, the first thing that she said to me was, I knew it. Because when she was a little girl, she would say, Mommy, you don't look like them. You look different from Granddaddy's family. Now, that's the truth. But I was not at liberty to tell her the truth because of respect for my mother. My mother did not want me to do that, and I decided to respect her on that. But then it was weighing at my heart. Every time my daughter would say that to me, I would just get paralyzed in my thought because I wanted to say to her. I wanted to tell her. And the same with her brother. She has a brother, and I'd always tell her, she says, I want a brother and I want a sister. I said, well, you know, I'm not having any more children, not that I know of, but from what I understand, you have a brother. And I would always tell her that. From what I understand, you have a brother. Now they are the best of friends, and they discovered each other. And when she went to meet him, she said, how will I know? I said, you will know. You don't need a DNA. You will know when you meet him if that's your brother. Will you go with me, Mama? No, you go. She went, and nobody had to tell her. So these are the things that, mother, we have to understand that there's a bond between a mother and a child. There's a bond between a father and a child. And there's a bond between siblings. And sometimes, you know, we think that we can override that by not telling the truth. People know within their heart and their soul, their spirit is weighing on them with the truth. So it's really not a secret. It's just a thought in your head that's woven within your intro conversation that you think that nobody knows. Because as the old saying goes, everything that happens in the dark comes to the light, and it really does. You know, not only to you, to me, and we have to face it. But once we face it, it's freeing. It is freeing. Now, there's a movie called Devil, and I know that when I heard it, I didn't want to go see it. But I suggest that you go see that movie because it'll bring a truth. It's got a spiritual thread in it that will just enlighten you to how quick and how important it is to repent and to move on. Because in order for you to get the good of the land and enjoy what God has promised you, you got to be quick to repent. You got to be quick to forgive. You got to be quick to love. You got to be quick to move on about our Father's business. And as mothers, we are the matriarch of the family. It's our job to set the tone for the family. It is our job. Now, I know we can't control anybody, and I know that every child has their own will, and all you got to do is know that you've done the very best that you can do. If your child is not where you think that that child should be and you're doing all that you can do and you are a godly person, you know, you've got to claim that child from Satan. You've got to keep in front of God and say, you know what, Satan, you cannot have my child. That child is going to return. Satan can't take what you don't give him. That is the child that God has given you. That's why you hear them say, thank God for a praying grandmother and thank God for a praying mother, because it's under those covenants that that child is protected. That's our role as a mother, as a matriarch of the family. Instead of going backwards, we got to realize we are now the next generation. If you're in your 50s and you're in your 60s, you know, that's it. You're a matriarch of the family. They are watching us to see how we do it and follow the lead. Now, I was talking to a young man this week, and that brings about a different side of this conversation. And it amazes me. I don't care where I am. When people discover that I specialize in mother and daughter relationships, this is the fact that I say mother. Everybody wants to tell me their story about their mother. Everybody loves their mother. Even though you may know some things about your mother, you know, you could get beat up real bad when I was little if you talked about somebody's mother. If you wanted to fight, you know, some people just say it because they wanted to fight you because they knew those were fighting words. Just say something about somebody's mother. You were into a battle. But this particular gentleman said to me, he said, you know, it's so amazing when you're talking about, you know, the bond and the relationship. He said, you know, I have a child, and I can't for the life of me connect to that child like I do with my other children. You see, because people know there is something that's supposed to happen. And like I told them, when I saw my father for the first time, the gentleman that was saying, I have someone that wants to meet you. That's all he said. And I said, I know who it is. And he looked surprised. He looked at me and said, how do you know? I said, I know who it is. Because my father was in the proximity of my energy force. And I could feel it. It was just zooming in to me. And that's the moment I knew without a shadow of a doubt that he was my father, because my back was turned and I felt him. The bond was that strong. And when I turned and looked in his eyes, I knew he was my father. So that's the thing that fathers are looking for, that connection. So mothers, you know, we have got to set our children free. We've got to let them know who they really are. And when you set them free, you got to start with yourself. You got to set yourself free, and then you'll be able to set your children free. So that conversation yesterday led from not knowing your father, not really knowing how to deal with your mother, to family molestation, and the mother knowing about it. You know, these things affect the life, and we are the product of, and our children will be the product of our truth or our untruth. So, to sum this up, we got to get right with God, free ourselves, to understand the truth. It takes a lot of studying. I'm with you. I am on the studying path as well. And then we've got to seek what is the real truth so that we can free our daughters and build a healthy relationship for our grandchildren. Thank you for listening. I'm going to open the lines up. If anybody would like to join me in this conversation, I would appreciate it. It's an interesting topic. I know it's not a comfortable topic. I know people don't want to talk about things that happen in their lives, the untruth. But someone out there in radio land will be healed with that truth. Don't think that I want to put my family out like that. That's not what I want to do as well. But it is the truth. And with that, that is a truth that's heavily moving around in the universe. These are the things that will make changes in your life and in the lives of your children and your grandchildren and the future generations to come. The truth will set you free. Well, everybody's looking at me. I see you there. And I hope that it's not offensive to anybody. It is the truth. And we've got to get there in order to get over to the other side of why we're here, what is our true purpose, and are we actually going to give God the glory? You know, we can get stuck on this side dealing with issues, and, you know, Satan will keep you so busy that you don't even know what time it is. You know, that's why sometimes people say, is it Thursday? Yeah, wow, time just flew by. I didn't even realize it was Thursday. Because if you had accomplished the things that you needed to accomplish, you would have realized it because you were deep into doing what the Lord has asked you to do. So that's the topic, and I'll keep talking. You know, I know it's not an easy thing, and I know most people don't want to get out on Front Street, and it's okay. But I'll go back to a couple things that we talked about yesterday. One lady said, she said, I didn't even know my father. So, you know, that in itself deals with the fact that, you know, she's in her 60s and she's still trying to figure out who is my father. And that has an effect with her. 60-some years old, and I'm sure, you know, with her children, she makes sure that they know who their father is. That is very important because as products, and I'll tell you, when I was married, I told my husband, I said, you know, you need to at least tell our daughter the truth. If that's your son, you need to say so. No, 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 no. That was always it. No, 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 no. But deep down in my spirit, you know, when I saw that child, I knew they looked too much alike. But the truth came out when she discovered that it really was her brother. So what I'm saying is then that was a freeing for both of them. You have to be able to do that. We have to go there and make sure that we help our children. And I know if you're in your 50s now, some people say, you know, sometimes it's better to let a dead dog lie. You know, is that true? I don't know. I just say you have to weigh it by your spirit. You have to just look at how is this affecting my family and how is this affecting my relationship with my daughter. The daughter really has questions, and they are afraid to come to the mother. And I've had, like one young lady, she says, I keep going to my mother, I keep going to my mother, and I keep going to my mother. And the mother refused to give the answers. And it's not that it makes her a bad mother. It's not that at all. Because the older the mother is, the different type of relationship she had with her mother, the different types of rules and regulations were applied in her life. And it's who she really is, and it's hard for people to come out of that to be some new person and fit into a new generation. And the round tables, starting next week, we want to bring in mothers and daughters of all ages to sit and be a part of the conversation so that that mother that's in her 70s and 80s and 90s will be able to talk about some of the things that happened in their lives and be able to generate that conversation
with mothers their ages. Because just myself, I know my mother was raised from a whole different generation. If she was living now, my mother would be about 78, 79 years old. And when I was, when she was here with me, we still have difficulties because of her rearing. Certain things you just didn't, they felt you didn't tell a child. But even as you grow up and you become an adult, you know, it's hard for the mother to see that she's not your little girl anymore. She's now a woman, now married. She's now she has children. She lives in her own house. She is who you have reared her to be, a mother, a young lady, a daughter. But it's hard sometimes for the mother to switch from that thought over to actually looking at their daughter as being a woman. You know, you want to be mother. You'll always be mother, but your conversation has to change. Your views and your outlook for your daughter has to change. You have to look at her. She has a husband. She has a friend. She's dealing in a real-life relationship. She's no longer 16 or 17, or she's no longer 12, 15, where you can influence those decisions. So that's the struggle. And as we sat around that table and we looked, I looked around and I said to myself, wow, this is what the mother and daughter round table is all about. We have all the ages and each person, the lady that was in her 30s, she's going to therapy every week, group therapy, still trying to deal with it. And even though she confronted her father, you know, he decided, you know, they didn't want to deal with it. He was permanent. Oh, I'm trying to say the word, it just went right out of my head. He was wealthy and did not want to bring that on. Then you got a young lady who went years and years and years hating the mother because of what? Untruth. And then one that was suffering because her mother passed. And why me? What do I do now? One that a mother sold her as a child. And one that a mother refused to tell the truth. So you look at the spectrum of the women that were sitting around that table and the conversation getting as deep as it was. God just placed on my heart, this is such a powerful issue. And I don't mean to just beat a dead horse to death. I just want you to hear. There are people on the internet. There are people on the radio. You are a listening audience. If you don't do nothing but sit around and have a conversation with your family, with your daughters, with your friends, and talk about, are we really living in the truth? Are we really having an honest conversation with our children? And if you can answer that and it doesn't weigh upon your heart, then you're good. But if it's something that you know that every time you see your child, it pops up in your mind, then you have imprisoned yourself. Every time you see that daughter, that one thing pops up. Every time you see that son, that one thing pops up. Because it's going to come back. It's not going anywhere until you deal with it. And until you deal with it, it's going to hinder you from being the person, the perfect servant to God that you should be. Because the one thing you have to realize, God sent Jesus to set us free. You can always go and set yourself free through the blood. That is the issue. You got, and then you got to forgive yourself. Because, and there was a group of ladies, and we did, I wrote a book called Seven Times 70. And it's dealing with self-forgiveness. And we went through that for 30 days, or 21 days. And discoveries came out. It's all about forgiving yourself. In order to get to the truth, you've got to look within yourself. You got to cleanse yourself from the inside. you got to take out all of that stuff in order to receive the new information, the new blessing. You got to clean yourself out, because you can't receive your blessings if you don't think you're good enough to receive them. You've made up your mind, I'm not good enough to receive them because I've got hidden secrets. Good morning, 864. How are you this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Enjoying your conversation this morning.
Thank
Quite
you.
Quite a few questions popping through my head, but still enjoying the conversation. Very important
okay.
issue that you're talking about today, basically communication and some of the things that caught interest was the word secret
mm-hmm.
or secrets.
Mm-hmm.
There are quite a few secrets, but not just personal secrets, but also family secrets
mm-hmm.
that do need to come out. I'm in total agreement with what you were saying in reference to that. But also, you know, I'm not a mother. I'm not a daughter, but I have 6 sisters and 7 mothers. And that
mm-hmm.
may sound a little strange or funny, but what I mean by that is that I can call any of my sisters, and I will always hear in that conversation at some point in time my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And they always want to take care of me as though they are my mother. So that's why I say that. But
that's an interesting approach. I like that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. But there are so many family secrets that do exist to me in pretty much every family. And a lot of issue as far as communication is concerned, many of us want to communicate and speak and tell someone about the things that have gone on in our past or our family's lives, but don't really know how to go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't have full information as far as being able to give the whole truth, which is very critical.
Mm-hmm.
But you're also dealing with embarrassment or shame and,
mm-hmm.
and overcoming that embarrassment or shame. So there's a lot to it. I do appreciate your show and what you're talking about. Hopefully there are many listening and coming to the decision of wanting to come out and release all of the hurts that have gone on in the past, because, you know, just as you said, the only way out is to release.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't release, we remain trapped where we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we pass that on to everybody else that we encounter or our children. And it just keeps going on from generation to generation. So I just wanted to call in and give that little.
Well, I appreciate that. I tell you, I see all the women and men that are listening. I can see the switchboard is full. And sometimes, you know, we need to have a perspective from a male point of view. And what I'm hearing is that you have 7 mothers. Now, I never really thought about it that way. But I can imagine being the only son that everybody. Are you the younger child of the sibling?
No, I'm actually in the middle.
You're in the middle?
Yes, there were 9 of us total. So.
Wow, that's even worse. Not worse, but better, I guess you could say. You know, because you got a few ahead of you that's going to boss you around, and you're in the middle, and then a few on the end, and everybody's your mother. But you're the prize. You are the prize. You're the male, and that's one thing about women. They gravitate toward that male. Now, were your father
right.
in the household with you?
Well, that's another very interesting point I was going to mention.
Uh-huh.
I didn't do that in the beginning, but which brings out the strength that brought me to or helped get me to where I'm at right now, which is my mother.
Uh-huh.
My dad, who I didn't really know at all. as far as I can remember, never was with us or lived with us, even though he was accessible. I did meet him maybe a dozen times, I guess. But it was my mother that raised all nine of us by herself, basically.
Wow.
With no child support or anything like that, no assistance outside of or other than the child support, it was her. And she worked all the time. She was in the medical field. But she was rarely at home because she was working to support us. So the appreciation really isn't strong enough for me as a word. It goes far beyond that. So.
And I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Is your mother living now?
She is. She's in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. That's good. So I know she's getting the fruit from the labor from her children, or should be anyway.
Most definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so very much for calling in. I appreciate that. It's so good to have a male perspective. And
you
have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow. That is great. Thank you, guys. I mean, I really appreciate it. It is good to have a male perspective. It gives us something to think about. Seven mothers. Never thought about it like that. And they all raising me. Thank you very much. It's been an interesting conversation. I hope that it added something good to your life. I love you all. Thank you. Pray for me. I pray for you, and that we all grow in the truth. You know, I'm always open. Send me your suggestion at drbessie1@gmail.com. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.